Welcome to another episode of Living Your Spark Second Half. And I have the perfect guest who is sparked in her second half. She is a friend who I met through my coaching business we had the same coach. And so, yes, we met through my coaching business. She has a coaching business too. And so we are similar. We have so much of our past experience aligns, coming from corporate jobs and having this passion deep inside of us to help others and start our own businesses. But she talks about her backstory and how she overcame some serious relationship problems with her second husband. Her first husband passed away and she was young and left with a small child. And she goes into that story about how she just figured it out. And so she's somebody who has a lot of chutzpah, I would say, and she figured it out. She went back to school, got her CPA, and she ultimately met her now husband, but they had a lot of problems. And it came to a big decision point in her life. She talks about what that was. She gets very emotional. So there will be a pause, but I think it's effective because it just shows you how that really literally moment in time changed her life and sent her on a whole new path to a better relationship and ultimately a new passion and purpose. And what I think is really her purpose, because I think, as I say all the time, our lived experience is with the lessons we need in order to serve in the way that we're meant to serve in the time that we are here. And so I think Jill is a perfect example of that. And I love her enthusiasm and her fashion sense. So if you watch me on YouTube, you got to go over and see what, if you don't watch me on YouTube, you got to check it out, because she's always dressed to the nines and looks amazing. And she makes me and my like t-shirt look a little frumpy, but I'm just a casual person. I don't have the fake eyelashes. And although I would love to learn how to do those, because they do pop your eyes. But she does it well, and she looks amazing, and she exudes such happiness, because that's where she is in her life, doing what she loves and being with who she loves. So without further ado, here is the interview with Jill.
Hi, I'm Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place for women in their second half of life to go to receive inspiration. If you are at a place where you believe your best days are behind you, it is my hope one of these episodes will spark you to think differently and lead you to a new belief that your second half may actually be your best half. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that the younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age or circumstances hold you back from the pursuit of a more fulfilling and fun life. The happier we are, the better the world will be. So instead of settling for what you don't want, how about going after what you do want? Listen in and let something you hear prompt you to take the first step in making the rest your best.
Welcome to another episode of Living Your Sparked Second Half. I'm still getting used to saying the new name. I have today with me kind of a friend. She's one of my business besties, I'd call her, because we were at a retreat together and we got to spend some time together. Her name is Jill Romig. And I can't believe, Jill, I haven't had you on the show before.
Well, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. So, and we have so much in common that although she's a prettier, like fancier, more fashionable version, but like our paths and what we've done as we've aged has been very similar, where, you know, we recognized our relationships were in need of, like, you know, I ended up getting a divorce. You didn't. And we're going to talk about that. And now you have a great relationship. You did the fitness thing. I saw some pictures of you recently from back then, before you had your transformation. Yes. Oh my gosh. It's like a completely different person, but you did Beachbody before I did Beachbody. So, but she's done a lot of different things, and she's also CPA by trade. So yeah, so she is kind of following her dreams in her second half, and I wanted her to get on, share her story and what she's doing right now. So welcome.
Hi. And
hi.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited. Excited to talk about whatever it is you would like to talk about. But yeah, I did start out doing Beachbody as a MLM, and I'm still actually a coach, and I don't really do that really at all, but I still have clients that still, you know, love their Shakeology and love, you know, the workouts.
When, I still do the workouts, you know. Yeah, I did one this morning.
I need to get back to it. And like things have been crazy lately, but I've been an instructor for fitness for over 25 years. I used to sub Shalene's Pio class back in Irvine when I lived.
Shalene Johnson is who you referred to.
And when that was going on, I'm assuming the picture that you saw was when I had lost like 20 or 25 pounds.
Well, it was before. It was like your before
and after.
Yeah.
So that was funny because the day that came out, that picture came out, was the week that we had one of, you know, how we go every year to the events. Mm-hmm. And some girl had recognized me from that picture. And she's like, "Are you Jill?" And I'm like, "Well, yes, I am." She's like, "Can I get your autograph?" I was like, "Yes, you can."
That's so cool.
My one moment of fame.
That's so cool. I had somebody come up to me at the airport once and say, I was standing in the Starbucks line in the Charlotte airport, and somebody came up and said, "Are you not your average grandma?"
Oh, yeah. At least it's a current identity. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, I've been not your average grandma since 2014 or something. Yeah, 2015. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so that was really fun because she dragged me over to the gate to meet her husband. And so it's really fun when you feel like you realize that what you're doing is really inspiring people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You've inspired me from day one. I knew when I joined Next Level. And I remember thinking we really need, and I don't know why we haven't. Like, I really like your journey has been so similar to mine, trying to figure out how it is that we can connect to the women that we want to connect to. And I just think that being part of Next Level has also helped us really understand our authentic self and really shine our inner light. And the more we do that, the better we show up in our relationships. And I think 100% I've seen that in you as well. And I know I've seen that in me and my family has seen that in me, which, you know, just really reinforces everything. So,
yeah. And I just share one of the things I love about you, but just so people know, Next Level is our business mastermind that we're in. Yeah. So we have a coach and he teaches us how to have an online business, but it's so much more than that. He's a mindset coach. I mean, he's taught me so much. Just the retreats alone, breakthrough after breakthrough. And he takes us through these visualizations. I've had some huge breakthroughs in those. Yeah.
For sure.
But it's so funny because you are somebody who will ask anything. Like you are not afraid to ask what some will perceive like, "I can't believe she's asking that." But we're all sitting there so thankful that you were brave enough to ask the question because the answer is so powerful.
Well, that's funny. Sometimes that's to my detriment, maybe because I show what I don't know. But you know what? I come to it with a beginner's mind and I'm never going to learn if I don't ask. And, you know, if I'm embarrassed, then I'm embarrassed, but I don't think I'm really, you know, to some extent, maybe it shows that I my inexperience in some areas or like that, what I don't understand, but some things are to me are like, some people don't understand accounting like I do, you know, like I get the certain parts of accounting. I'm not going to say I know all, you know, like financial, you know, things for different areas, but for audit or for nonprofits or for whatever I've been trained to do, I'm really smart at that. And somebody would ask a question and I might think that's a dumb question because they don't know audit like me. But when it comes to like business and online stuff and Facebook ads and like, you know, like the kinds of things that we do, some of that's like foreign, like a foreign language to me, you know? And so I'm going to ask the questions and some people like have to bear through it, I guess. I don't know, but you know, I don't know if it's brave or stupidity, but
I think that you just have this inner confidence that you know, you're smart enough and you don't care if you don't look smart to other people because you know, you're smart enough and you know that. Then you have this determination. You know, we kind of have that similar. We're very determined, persevere. We're going to figure it out. God damn it.
No matter what.
Yeah. And so you put yourself out there because you're like, "Oh, I know I'm going to figure it out because I'm smart enough to do that." Mm-hmm. But some people, they either lack the inner confidence, or they, when they're around other people that they perceive as like having expertise they don't have, then it makes them feel, they worry about being judged.
And so, and I already know that people judge me. So, you know, either be myself and they judge me, or be somebody else and they judge me for not being myself. So either way, you're getting judged. So
yeah. And then if they judge the person who you aren't, and then you like they make a connection with that person, yeah, you might not even like them because they're not like you. Yeah. It's so crazy.
That was one of the huge, one of, aside from my marriage, you know, situation, but people that I had met when I moved to California. So I moved to California in 2011. So all this change really, like my dip in the woo-woo pool, all that like changed when I moved to California. Like I never heard of anything, like manifesting or just the whole attitude of abundance. And
you never read The Secret or watched Oprah?
Well, that was the first book I read, but I didn't read it. I actually didn't read it. I heard it in on audio in the car, and it was in 2011. Then I read the Four Agreements, and then, you know, it was like one thing after the other. I was like, I could do this. I could, you know, like my whole world opened up, really.
I just read the Four Agreements, and I'm sharing it.
I saw
it.
That you did that.
Yeah, I'm sharing. Yeah, so great. Yeah,
I love that. Love everything. They have a fifth agreement, which is really just reinforcing the first four. But
I just saw that on Amazon. I was like, oh, I guess I better order that and read it and then share that on my podcast.
I just was going, I just started another book today. The Ego, Ego is Your Enemy. I had just finished, like I have some that I've started and they don't keep me going. So I just finished Mindset finally. And then I'm starting Ego is the Enemy. But I had seen that I had those in there and I was like, oh, do I want to, no, I'm going to do something new. I need to listen to these other ones that I've bought. And, you know, so.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And Audible, I always get credits and it's like, I have a lot of books.
Well,
on Audible
I paused the credits now because I got to get caught up with all the things that I have in there. So.
I just heard this on a book that I'm reading or listening to right now is that, because I'm like I like to take notes. I know you do too. And so we were sitting next to each other and she's like very much, very organized with her
notes. With my very colored,
different colors. Yeah. And so this guy who was speaking said, you should also have the print version in front of you so you can read along and highlight because it helps you retain the information. And I thought that was so fascinating. He said, I'm not trying to get you to buy my book because you can get it for 99 cents, I guess, digitally, because you can highlight digitally. But I thought that was so good because I do feel like sometimes when I listen, I don't like, it doesn't stick with
it's
me.
Kind of like white noise a little bit.
Yeah.
So when I listen to Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, they have a download and I had a journal. So like, I've listened to that like three or four times now. Mm-hmm. And every time I listen to it, I get something else out of it. Like something I want to add to my day or something I want to, you know, remember to do. But having that download is really powerful. And then like, there's some quotes in there that I will, you know, like fall back to when I was kind of like, because we, you know, we go into the, you know, life is 50-50 and we go into these ruts where things aren't going the way you want or how you expect, and having grace with that time. Like for me right now with the Facebook ads, it's like, it's a challenge and it's a way to look at yourself and say, what can I grow from? Like, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Instead of being like, quit, I can't do this, this isn't working, you know? And that to me is who I used to be. Well, not totally, because I've overcome a lot of things, but like, I would think that certain things were fixed as opposed to a growth mindset, whereas I am 100% growth mindset now.
Yeah. And they talk about that. Carol Dweck, she wrote Mindset. And I've mentioned, I think, her book before, but she talks about this. And that's, such a good book. But I want to get to your, I want to talk about your.
We could talk all day.
Yeah, I know we could go on. I got to like stick to the clock here. But so I want to talk about your relationship because I always say that I had a kind of trifecta transformations when I hit my like 47 to 50 kind of age. So it started with leaving my husband, then it migrated into health transformation, and then it migrated into like, I want to start my own business kind of migration. So you are that as well. And so, so it's hard to get everything into a short period of time. Maybe you could come back, but
I'd love to.
Yeah. I want to focus because I don't think I have a lot of, I don't think I have had a lot of guests who go deep on, I have a lot of people who have been divorced, but not people who have almost divorced and then gotten everything back on track. And the other reason why I want to talk about it is because, you know, I'm feel like I'm living my purpose. And I feel like it was a little bit of a long and winding road to figure it out.
Of course.
And I feel like I figured it out in the last couple of years. Like I'm like gone all in on it. And I think sometimes our lived experience is so, so important because we live that experience to, this is my belief, we live that experience to get the lessons we need to do what we're supposed to do here. and so, and that's to help the world in some way. I mean, it could be like a small part of the world or a big part of the world, but help humanity in some way. And so, I think it's interesting because I have had this long and winding road. And I know that I feel like you have just like hit on what your purpose is.
And I really
do. And it's related to what you've learned in your relationship. So I would love to hear, first of all, like he's your second husband and you, Okay. So you tell, like, tell me about your romance, your backstory.
Okay. So I don't know how far back, but you wanted to go, but yes, he's my second husband, but my first husband, I didn't divorce either. He passed away when we were young. And that was, you know, one obstacle that I overcame, moved to North Carolina with my daughter, who was at the time four, and then went to college, you know, master, got my CPA, all that, very determined, very, tunnel vision. You know, I was like, I can't afford to take this exam twice. I'm going to pass all four parts the first time I take it. And people are like, oh yeah, sure. I'm like, oh yeah, you don't know me. And so I did. And then, and I got a job with IBM where they let me work from home, you know, so Brittany was raised by a single parent who, you know, by all accounts had, you know, like I was collecting Social Security initially because I was going to school full time and working part time. And then once I graduated, started making money and was able to build my own, you know, wealth and worth as far as financials and own things. And then I met my current husband and we got married February 14th, 1999.
Oh, great. And, great day. It's my birthday.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately for my husband and I, it's also the day his mom died many years later, like just the date, Valentine's Day. So it's like, it's our anniversary and it's also the memory of his mom's death.
Which, but maybe you can make it good by celebrating.
Yeah, well, we appreciate her every her birthday just passed too in November. But anyway.
We can't pick our death dates usually. That just...
I know. Most Christmas, of us, my husband has a few deaths and it kind of, you know, brings them down too, but you know, it's life, it goes on. Right. And, and all we can do to benefit our lives is to make sure we're showing up authentically as ourselves and not waste this precious gift that we're given.
Yeah.
And I think that, I've been a lot of my life because I was driven as my daughter was my why. Like I was very driven to make sure I could afford a life for her because we were living on Social Security. I was living, you know, paycheck to paycheck until I got an education. And then, you know, and then I got student loans and I did everything I could just so that we could live the kind of lifestyle I thought that she needed to live. Today, my life is 1,000 times different than it was when I was married to Rob, my first husband. Like, I don't even think I could have envisioned me having the life I have now.
Well, how old was your daughter when you married?
So Rob, he died on Father's Day of all days. She was 3 and turned 4 in August, and Father's Day is June. So she turned 4 and I had gotten my associate's degree from a community college that year. And then we moved to North Carolina from New Jersey because I was going nowhere quick if I stayed in Jersey. Like, if, you know, like I had to get out of there and just focus on her and me and just kind of like regroup, refresh, whatever you want to call it. But I just had to redirect my attention from the things I was involved in New Jersey. And so by doing that, I was able to focus on school, focus on her. But what I didn't do is maybe focus on me. And the like, so what I brought into my marriage with my second husband was a lot of trauma from growing up and a lot of things. And I didn't like, we didn't talk about it. I had just pushed those things so far down and didn't even realize they were there. Actually, until an event with Chalene, and this was right around the time when I'm kind of jumping around, but my poor husband, he has put up with a crazy woman. That's me.
How old was your daughter and how old were you when you married?
So Todd met Brittany when she was eight. She went from Brittany to Rose. That's her middle name. So if you hear me say Rose, it's Brittany. But so she was eight and she's 36 now. But we didn't get married until she was in seventh or eighth grade. So I don't know, it's another eight.
Yeah.
Seven years later.
Like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Now.
So I met him while I was at East Carolina. And then we got married after I graduated with my master's. So I graduated in 97. We got married in 99. I was like in my early 30s. And so then fast forward to the housing crash 2009, he lost his job. He was with Grady White. And I still was a CPA working at a local firm in North Carolina, is where we were living full time. And he got an opportunity to, after 2 years of being unemployed, but fortunately we were smart with our money and we had paid off we were debt free at that time. But I was still working. And so we took those 2 years and did some traveling and I was able to work remotely. But then when we moved to California in 2011, when he got the job with Yamaha, who he currently works with. And that's when it was like, we had a nice home. We had money. The kids were grown and gone. There was nothing wrong with our life on the outside, but we would fight about money. We would fight about stuff. And like, he's a very calm, cool, and collected person. And I, like, he would say, I don't know, do something very tiny. And I would go from 0 to 60 of like irateness. Like, I had all that I had pushed down, like everything that he did, I like, just like in the Four Agreements, it was all about me. Everything he did was to make me mad in my mind. That's how I perceived it. So I showed up like an ass and I didn't.
You made assumptions. You took things personally.
Yes. All those things. Yeah. And, you know, and I didn't really realize it. Like, I really blamed him for a lot. I was very much in an emotional childhood personality. Like, I didn't own my actions. I didn't, like, if we had a fight, it was his fault. I just, you know, that was a lot because of my trauma. And I didn't understand that I was going through that. But when he put that piece of paper in front of me and said, I can't do this anymore, I was like, I did not mean to do that.
Well, it just shows how powerful that is. Like, that was a pivotal moment in your life.
Because he's such a great guy.
And the fact that he couldn't voice it, like that he had to write it down.
I mean, he tried, but I wouldn't hear it. And when I looked down, it was half of our assets. That number was like, you know, huge. It was like, and I'm like, I don't want the money. You know, I want a happy marriage, you know?
And was he married before?
Yeah, he was married before. So he had two kids. His daughter was 4 when I met her. She's now 31. Kelly, that's one who has Ruby. And Scott was the same age as Brittany. They were 8 and they became friends.
Yeah. And Ruby is her dog. So we were talking earlier.
Now, but
so people have context. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. So that helped me get past that. So anyway, when you put it in front of me, I was like, I'm not okay with this. This is not what I want. We tried couples therapy. We tried couples retreats. We tried A Weekend to Remember. We read books. And like, things got better for a little bit, but then they didn't. And then I went to one of Chalene's, this is what I was getting back to. Chalene had an event and Michaela, spoke at her event. And before the event, it was her push event is what it was called. She had listed like, I don't know, 10 or 12 traumas that could have happened in your life. And I think nine of them I had experienced, and Todd had maybe one, right? But tears were coming down my face. And he was like, oh, and the only reason he was there is because Shalene said, you get him to come, I'll comp his fee. So I begged him to go to this thing. I'm like, it'll be good. It'll be good. And he's like, I go to this stuff all the time. Anyway, he showed
up. My husband would never go to one of those events.
Well,
I'll
he's like,
you.
I said, well, at least it'll be with a bunch of good looking women, honey.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And just for reference, people, I think Michaela, correct me if I'm wrong, was one of the top Beachbody coaches, right? At the time?
No, I don't. I know she did become a Beachbody coach, but no, she is one of Shalene's closest friends, but she is therapist, an EMDR therapist.
Okay. That helps.
Yeah. So
that's context.
What she got up. Yeah. So that's what she got up on stage to talk about. And she was selling her 5-day intensive. But when Todd saw the tears go down my face, he looked at me. He's like, maybe this is something we should consider. Right. Yeah. And so I did that. And that was really, that was 2012 when I, you know, like we had already decided we were going to try and figure this out. Like he put the paper in front of me and I was like, you know, we need, you know, I'm not this, you know, we'll fix this. I'll fix this. We'll get this straight. We'll, you know, like I just like my whole world dropped right then. So I did some reflecting. I did journaling. I did, you know, I did the EMDR therapy, and that was what started my dip into the woo-woo pool, because then I started reading about gratitude. And then I started learning about how important our thoughts were and how those thoughts created our feelings and how our feelings drove our actions and how we showed up created the results in our lives. And that was what I was creating in my life. I was blaming him for my actions. If he didn't take out the trash, I made it mean that he didn't love me or he was trying to piss me off, or instead of like, maybe he forgot to take out the trash, you know, or something simple, little, just like a lot of little things like that. I started not losing my shit or my, you know,
yeah, that's fine. We could say shit on the show. And the people don't like it, they can just turn the volume down. Turn
just
it back
saying,
up.
There might be.
But yeah, so this is to me like such a great example of the good in network marketing. I mean, people can say all they want. And I know I was like really anti network marketing, MLM, and I'm not in it anymore. But the personal development, the lives that are changed because of what they teach you mentally or what they provide for you. I mean, it's your choice whether you take the, you know,
right. And I think that
take that information, but yeah, so great.
Yeah. I think that that's, you know, that's where, and that's like when I explained, like I was saying, like nothing was wrong with our relationship as far as, you know, like we had everything we could want for, but we weren't growing. Like we weren't, you know what I mean? We were coasting. And when you're coasting, you're like, you're going downhill. And we just like it started picking up speed. You know what I mean? Like in our relationship, because we weren't doing like, we just weren't, I wasn't learning anything. He might've like Grady White before was making him go to like personal growth events and Yamaha, they'd make him read Move That Cheese or Who Moved My Cheese or I don't know, like whatever books they had to read stuff. So he was at least doing that, but I wasn't doing any personal growth or any personal development until,
you know what just came up for me is that, and I don't know if you find this with the women you help, but I have people that feel guilty for wanting more than okay. Like they're like, I should be happy with my life because a lot of people have it worse than me. Instead of thinking, don't think about anybody else. If it can be better, you deserve more. Like okay is not okay.
Yeah. Okay is not okay. And I think that, yes, 100%. I've run into women that don't don't even recognize that they're thinking that way, that they have a self-worth issue. They don't understand or recognize it for some reason. Like I have, you know, I have some clients that I've talked to that, you know, because they are, either stay-at-home moms or, you know, they're not the big breadwinner, somehow makes them less valuable in their relationship. And in order for them to understand that their worth has nothing to do with how much money they bring into the household. You know, their lovability, their value, that is not tied to any earnings that they make. And that's like a foreign concept to some women. You know, like, I should feel like, you know, there's one thing to be grateful and be in a place of gratitude versus I don't deserve. There's completely, you know what I mean? Like, different. We all deserve to be happy, healthy, and contribute to society. You know, yeah. I think our purpose is to expand.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not just about the monetary, because I was a breadwinner, like pretty much my whole marriage. And so, because my ex-husband was a police officer, but I found that my value, I never felt valued, you know, and it was, so it was in other ways. I didn't finish my degree in college. So that was a big thing, you know, like I'm not smart enough. So it's so funny that lack of value can show up in so many different ways, or because so many of these beliefs that that really aren't true. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so same with me. So like I was a non-traditional student. I graduated top of the class and everything, but I was also a lot older than the kids that were graduating from ECU because I had a child, you know, and was going through school. So I didn't tailgate and I didn't do the fun stuff. I worked full time, worked part time, went to school full time. And then Brittany had before school care, after school care, and ballet, or, you know, acting class or whatever. Like I was like full on, you know, mom, student, and employee, and just doing like nominal work. But so I didn't have that same experience, you know, but when I'd go back to say reunions, I'd compare myself to my friends who had all graduated first from, you know, that all their kids are now in college, where my kids I have grandbabies, you know what I mean? Like you know, it's like we have a whole different life experience. And, you know, I that's great for them. And I love all my friends that I grew up with and everything. But when I was younger, I didn't think I was good enough because I didn't, you know, I got pregnant and then I had to drop out of school. And then, you know, so I had that image of myself, like not good enough. And so I brought that baggage into, and that was one of the luggage pieces I brought into my marriage with Todd.
I want to move into, the juicy part, because, you know, you're talking about your relationship and how I alluded to earlier that I really feel like you're coming into what you're here for, why you live this experience, and what you're here to do and serve, and why you're an expert at it. And I think, and I've watched you, just like you were talking about watching me, we're observing each other. But you've recently made a pivot because the other thing that we have in common, we have the same photographer. Remember, we did a photo session
right
one
there.
Day.
Yeah.
And you're always like and I think you talked to like from frumpy to fabulous or something, but you always
dump
are
the frump. Dump
yeah.
the frump.
You always are done up so well. You look like it's like you're noticeable. Like when you walk into a room, you're noticeable.
You're so
and
sweet.
And so for that reason, it seemed like, you know, helping women step into feeling better about themselves and feeling more confident because they look better, you know, they're the women.
And that confidence, it isn't because they actually look better. It was because they felt better, and they felt better because they were thinking better. So it's cleaning up all the garbage in your head, decluttering your brain, thinking healthier, happier thoughts about yourself helps you show up more confidently, more authentically, not being afraid to face discomfort or uncomfortable conversations, or, you know, speaking up in a crowd, or like we were saying earlier, like just being genuinely yourself and okay with making a mistake, and know that you can figure stuff out no matter what and have your own back.
Yeah. But you did have the messaging was all around, because sometimes you need to like bring them in based on something. Oh, I'm going to look better. I'm going I'm going to know how to put on eyelashes Jill. And then you're like, get at like what's really going on. But I think what's so important for people to hear is that you and I are both coaches, right? So we do intense personal development just because, first of all, it helps us. And then whatever we learn, we can help other people. But we still have our own coach.
Mm-hmm. And everybody yes, needs a coach, a life coach on speed dial.
Yeah. And one of the things that our coach said that's always stuck with me is that we have blind spots. Mm-hmm. And we can't see our blind spots, just like that thing in the mirror in the car. It's invisible to you. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to have those breakthroughs, you have to be willing mm-hmm. to go there and have mm-hmm. somebody help you with that. Mm-hmm. And I
Preach.
Honestly believe, and you do too, that like the answers are inside of us. And mm-hmm. that's what a coach does. A good coach will ask the right questions and get the information out of you, because only you know what not okay is and what will make you that happiest and most sparked. So I want
100%.
So I want you to share what that like breakthrough was for you, because you were coached mm-hmm. and you all of a sudden saw, it was like this download from mm-hmm. the Almighty that was like, mm-hmm. this is it. Finally, you've done all this experimenting, right? Mm-hmm. And you've now been certified as a coach. Mm-hmm. You now have like gone part-time with your CPA. Mm-hmm. You know, you're mm-hmm. just like really on the precipice of like
yeah.
it. And yeah. so describe kind of how that felt when you kind of like were like, oh my God.
So it happened during one of our next level, it was a virtual retreat. It was the $1 million messaging. And so I got selected to, you know, end at this last retreat with Brandon.
Yeah,
Brandon.
Yeah, yeah. She got Masero. Well, again, you raise your hand. A lot of people sit there and are like, I'm not going to raise my hand.
Oh, I was like, please pick me.
You're willing to go up there. And we're all laughing. And of course, you're talking a lot about things that have to do with relationships like sex. Uh-huh. And Brandon uh-huh. was like,
oh, yeah. Oh. He's like, this is going to get awkward real quick. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. But, and I kept raising my hand to give you like, because I've been there, you know?
Right, right. So, I was already sure that's what I was, you know, pivoting towards is relationships by then. But in September is when James had me do my origin story. And now, you know, like when I was writing it out, like I brought it all back to, you know, when did I really change? When did I change? And it was when Todd put that piece of paper in front of me. And I got emotional then when I was telling him in doing the origin story. So the second time I've only ever started to tell that, and both times I've gotten emotional. I need to work on that. But it's truly when I changed. It's when I started doing the thought work. And so after I gave the whole thing, he's like, Jill, that was amazing. He said, now I'm going to give you some things to help you, you know, share it in a better way, which I still need to work on. But what he said is like, so why are you working with Living Boldly, you know, women, when you could really niche down to helping women in relationships? He said, because I know there were a lot of people that leaned in when you started talking about your relationship. And then there were, you know, because it was virtual, and then people were like typing and just like, great, Jill, thanks. Great way to make us cry or whatever. And so many people were saying, you need to be helping women fix their marriages. And I was like, like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I need to be doing, because there's so many reasons. There's like, and I just watched the breakup last night, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't even believe I fast forward.
Was that with Jennifer Aniston? And
yeah, it's like I'm arguing. Yeah. It's awful, but yeah. At the end, it's like they get to be who they want to be, and they don't end up together, but they leave and they turn around and they see each other, and there's hope for them, and it all happens once they become authentically themselves, and that's. You know, that when it comes down to it, nuts and bolts, bottom line, it's your relationship with your spouse is going to work if you work on yourself and you own your response. You know, you take responsibility for how you show up in your relationship. So like, do Todd and I get along 100% all the time? No, of course not. Does he do things that I get mad about and I realize that I'm thinking something that's making me mad? And do I decide I still want to be mad about that? Yeah, sometimes I do. But I definitely am not afraid to tell him stuff that I used to be afraid to tell him because I thought I would turn into an argument. And I don't lose my temper like I used to lose my temper because I know how to control my thoughts when it comes to, like, I prepare myself. If there's a money conversation that we need to have, or if there's something that we, that, you know, like couples fight about, I'm not afraid to have the conversation, and I know I'm not going to lose my shit like I used to. And so that's brought, and he, and the fact that, well, first of all, like he will bless me, kiss me, love me, whatever, and say, like, who are you and what have you done with my wife? And I'm so glad you're here or whatever. And I, you know, and when I started making the change, I was like, why did you stay? Like, when, as long as you did before you finally put that in front of me. And he's like, I knew, like, when he met me, he said, there's something about me. He knew that this was inside of me or something to that effect. And so he always believed in me. And so, you know, and I think I had him like, where he just couldn't take it anymore. Even though he believed in me, he just couldn't take the crazy anymore.
Well, I think they see, you know, true love to me is when they see the best in you, and some of those moments might not be enough. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this like unhappy version of you just shows mm-hmm. up too much. And then mm-hmm. That's what happens.
But
I'm sure you showed the real Jill a lot. And so he was hanging on to that and knew that she was there.
And so I pushed. And I remember in eighth grade, I had a teacher. She said, you push and push. So sometimes, you know, like I don't recognize that I do now. I have a lot more awareness of how I show up.
Yes.
But then, when we were younger in our marriage, I didn't. And I own that. And same with my daughter, because, you know, like she got shoved, you know, like controlled by me because of me trying to make sure I provided for her, that she had a very structured life. And then when Todd would go on travels and then when we would spend time together, it was unstructured for a moment. So I gave her mixed signals and we had some, you know, like problems when she was younger growing up. And this, our relationship now is even better.
Oh,
just because I was like, you know I showed up in some ways that were crazy lady. And I just want you to know that none of that was because of you. It was all because of me. It was because mm-hmm. I never processed your dad dying. I never did this. And, you know, and she was like, Mom, you have no idea how important that was for you to tell me, you know, and that was huge for our relationship. Yeah.
So when we change our thoughts, the mm-hmm. point here
changes your life.
Is when you change your thoughts, it changes everything.
It's like that ripple effect.
Yes. Relationships improve. And it starts with awareness, and that you know that there's something that it could be better, and it's up to you because nobody else is going to change it for you. So you could sit around all day. Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. I love that so much. As we wrap up, I know you have something that is you're getting excited about because new. It's a new,
brand new.
Yeah. And you're doing a masterclass, right? I was so excited because I was like reaching out to, because I go through cycles of like booking guests and then I have a bunch to record. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't had Jill. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I think she's getting ready to do a masterclass. Oh, I should reach out. So,
perfect.
So I thank you for taking the time because I know you're busy right now getting ready for it. But this, we're recording in advance, but this is going to publish, I think, the day before.
Your
masterclass. What day is your masterclass?
So it's the 7th and the 8th, which is Wednesday and Thursday. And on Wednesday, it'll be offered two different times at noon and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time. So
it's going to be two parts or
one. Okay. It's 1 hour, but I'm giving people three different times to show up live so they can get live coaching at the end, if depending on how many people are there or how many questions they have. So
it's off and it's free.
And it's called Rekindle the Romance in Your Relationship.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Or is it? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, this one's free because it's my first time doing this one.
Yeah. People, seriously, I mean, anybody who's listening to this and their marriage is like stagnant or they're just not feeling. And the other thing that I want to say when you're talking about that before is like so many people think divorce is the only option. And then they're going to go find somebody better or they're going to find their true love or whatever. When
they're going to take that garbage. With
oh my
them.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just take your problems with you. And it's just pack when you pack your bags, that's all that those beliefs and the things that
was right with you. Yeah. And I brought it into my marriage and I didn't realize that. And I'm so grateful that I figured it out before I really lost somebody that I loved.
Yeah. And it's funny because he's doing some of the videos with you on social media. Yeah. So I was like, my husband would never do that.
Wait a minute. That was that. So like 10 years ago, I would have never in a million years expected him to say yes to the pictures, say yes to doing a reel with me or something like that. And he's like, and it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, you're going on a work thing. Can we do this? It's kind of cute. And we're spelling out letters and you all lay down and you, he's like, okay, fine. And so he had fun and he laughed and it was awesome. Cute. But yeah. So
well, he sees you so lit up. I mean, this is what sparked is. Mm-hmm. And when you love somebody and you see that and they have this aura of mm-hmm. like this positive energy around them, mm-hmm. it's like contagious. I just, in my newsletter I just sent out, I talked about like negative energy is contagious but positive is too. So if you get into a negative energy,
100%. Like, and I'll tell you what, this aura, has been good for me today, especially just because of what's going on with my outer, world with Facebook. And like, this has reboosted my energy and my, I'm doing the right thing. And, sometimes we need reinforcement. And I feel that energy every time I talk about relationships, about how important it is. Like, we have these little things and that one layer, one brick, one and this wall begins to be built between two people that really love each other and they can't see any way out and they don't understand that, well, what I'm making what you do mean and what you're making what I do mean is what the wall's about. And if we would just drop that and be authentic and not so judgmental of ourselves or of them, we can just move mountains together. And it's just,
And I just want to speak to Jill struggling, as most of us entrepreneurs do, with like technology stuff. So try to get through that. But one of the things that tells me that this is your purpose is like nobody, like I just randomly was like, I need to reach out to Jill. Mm-hmm. And then you were so like excited and you were like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a problem with Facebook. And you're just, your note was so refreshing and made me feel so good. And I'm like, this is when you have a clear idea of mm-hmm. what you desire, mm-hmm. then things drop out of thin air. And this is an example. This like kind of divine intervention that like here brought us together, have this conversation.
Awesome.
And anybody who's listening has this opportunity to make their marriage better just by attending a 1 hour session.
So what I promise is after they leave this class, they will learn the tools, the framework that I have that will help them cultivate connection, to increase intimacy, and just design the kind of relationship they desire, one they deserve, one they want with their spouse. Yeah. And their husband doesn't have to change at all in order for them to feel better about their relationship. And that's the part that I don't think a lot of women think. They think the problem is their husband. They think their problem that they need to change.
Yeah.
And if they just let them be for a minute and work on themselves, it takes two to tango, one to lead. And they don't need to force them to do anything, because once you work on yourself, it's amazing how it affects the other people around you.
Yes.
It truly is. Yes. I mean, my husband,
students tell me that all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't
affirm what you want. Like this, I have the most amazing relationship with my husband. Even if you don't, you say that every single day. Mm-hmm. Your actions, it's like brainwashing.
It's a belief system.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you start to behave differently and they pick up on that. It's like, it's an energy thing. So it's super, super effective.
It's just, like our thoughts, our words, the things that come out of our mouth is, mm-hmm. Like when you start to become aware, that's like stage one, step one is awareness, knowing what you're saying to yourself, listening to that chatter. If you're constantly saying, I can't believe he's doing this, and I can't believe he's doing that, you've got this expectation set up that's for failure in your relationship. If you're constantly bickering about stuff that you think he should be doing that he's not doing, or you think you should be allowed to do that you're not doing, you're not showing up authentic when you're doing that, And so that's a whole nother,
Thing
to get into manuals. Yeah.
I have, before we wrap up, I just thought of one thing because I heard the word intimacy and I immediately thought sex. And so I wanted to speak to it because a lot of people are so far apart in their marriage that they can't even think about like sex. So when you say intimacy, like, are you just referring to like, just be, have those conversations? Have
sure, like, I am. And you can take it to whatever extent you want. Yeah. You know, intimate is intimate. Being able to be vulnerable, being
authentic,
able to, you know, authentic and vulnerable and sharing how you feel, that's sexy. You know what I mean? Like, that brings people together. And if you have that desire, that will bring you together. Like, that will increase that, that connection, the connection, the intimacy, all of that improves when you clean up the thinking that you have. And when you let go of all of your, not all of your expectations, but all of your judgments about how things should be versus how they are. And then just really become aware of what you're thinking and how you're showing up and know that. And this is the, you know, separating the stories from the fact, because say your husband comes home at five, is supposed to come home at five for dinner, and he doesn't get home till six. And you go on a tirade because you think, you know, it's inconsiderate of him to be an hour late, but he got stuck in an accident or something. Like, you don't know. Like, you, it's like you, lots of times arguments erupt based on pure fiction. Nothing's based in fact. And the first thing I help my clients do is separate the truth from the story. You know, like, what are you telling yourself about what's wrong and what's really going on? What are the facts? What are the clear, neutral facts that everybody can agree on in a court of law? And that's where we begin. And so it makes a big difference.
Yeah. And I want to again stress, because obviously it made a big difference to Jill. And I just recently read it and I'm doing a few podcasts, four episodes on the four agreements.
Oh, yeah.
But read that book, because you will, we make our own misery. That's the big powerful thing, is by making those assumptions, and we make our own misery, and we can free ourselves from that hill, as he says.
100%. Yeah. But
anyways, well, what is the specific link? I can put in the show notes, but is there one that's easy for people to remember?
The registration page is www.jillmromig.com. / capital R, capital W, capital R. So it's WRRWR, but capital letters, because for whatever reason.
So let me repeat it. It's Jill, M as in Mary.
Or Marie. It's my middle name.
Marie Romig, is it?
Yes.
Romig, R-O-M-I-G /
.com
/
capital R, capital W, capital R.
Got it. Okay. Just wanted to repeat it. All right. Thanks so much for being here. I could go on. I just know we've been talking for about, I think, almost 50 minutes. So,
I know. We probably went way long, but thank you for having me.
Now that we have the in-person retreats back and it's going, we'll see each other next year.
Yes.
Probably a couple times, three times maybe.
Yeah. And so the more travel I can do, the better. And anytime we go out west, I'm happy. Arizona was nice. Next time I want to go a little bit more before and after so I can see stuff.
Yeah.
Because James will keep us in that building from morning, noon to night. You know?
I know. But, and we just stay there.
Yeah.
We just stay there. So, all right.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Living Your Spark Second Half podcast. If you'd like to watch my guest interviews, you can find the video version of this podcast on my Not Your Average Grandma YouTube channel. Also, you can check out what I have going on at the moment by going to my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com or find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you like this episode, please mention it to a friend and don't forget to leave a review so I know the topics you like best and can bring you more of that content in upcoming episodes. Last but not least, remember to always listen to that inner voice that will never steer you wrong and make living from the most sparked place possible your biggest priority. When we do that, we make the world a better place.